Welcome to Belonging and Beyond podcast for immigrant and refugee women, where we'll be having deep conversations about belonging, spirituality, and healing.
So I would like to welcome my guest for today. Her name is Marcella, and she's an Afro-Latina immigrant writer and content creator from Brazil. She shares insights into issues affecting undocumented folks, empowerment in Afro-Latinx identity, and encourages cultural reconnection. So I want to welcome you, Marcella, to this podcast, and I am looking forward to just having a wonderful conversation with you and learning more about you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very honored to be part of your podcast.
All righty. So I'd like to start out with one of the questions that I personally wanted to find an answer to. And I'm just curious, what do you sense is your purpose in life? And what do you sense is driving you?
I think that no one has one singular purpose in life. But I've also been held back by the sense that I've had so many purposes that I couldn't take action on anything. So after a lot of meditation about what's important to me, I've decided that, all we can do is act on one thing at a time. That gets us, closer to what we feel is our purposes. And for me, that started out with writing about my experience growing up as an undocumented person in the U.S. And now I feel a sort of sense of responsibility. I just feel called to help people like myself sort of reconnect with their culture, sort of get that part of themselves that they lost through assimilation with American culture, just so that we feel more complete as human beings.
Yeah, I can completely relate to that. And I hear you when you're talking about the assimilation process, how we're in many ways are being conditioned to cut away parts of ourselves in order to supposedly belong, quote unquote, or be part of this, of a new culture. So that's very, very beautiful kind of and sensitivity that you're bringing and really in supporting others in embracing their cultural heritage and embracing where they came from. It's beautiful. And on your journey of life, how did your healing journey look like? I'm big into healing and into spirituality. So I'm just curious, what does even healing mean to you? How did you maybe stumble and came across that process?
I recently came across the term shadow work, and I thought, maybe that describes what my healing journey looks like. But it was really just using what was innate for me, which was writing. It was something that I always did. I always journaled, and I always was coming up with storylines in my head, or trying to incorporate my experiences into some kind of story that made sense in my head. So I really always felt like a storyteller. And when I decided to start blogging, writing about my experiences, I really just decided to romanticize the circumstances that I grew up with, and the things that impacted my mental health. And I did that for myself because I knew that I had to get past those things. I had to face those demons, and you know, I didn't know if anyone would understand or relate to it, but I feel like I kind of knew that if I did it as like a storyteller, that I could potentially make people understand and empathize. And I really wasn't expecting to get feedback that so many people could relate to me. So not only facing those things, looking back at those things and making sense of them with words, but also getting that feedback was very healing, because I, you know, felt like I'm doing a good thing and I'm not alone, you know, with these feelings. So the journey of becoming a writer was part of my healing.
Mm. Yeah, and within that, I'm hearing this component of like being seen and heard, like when you're receiving that kind of feedback from others, or as they were maybe commenting on what you were writing, there's that element of just being recognized and being seen, and that your experience is absolutely valid. And that absolutely is a healing process. That is absolutely creates that. It almost like brings us out of that sense of isolation that can exist when we are dealing with our mental issues or traumatic experiences or just difficulties in life, that sense of like, I'm alone in this. So can really, beautiful that you found that sense of healing is through writing, and that was your modality. So really wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the next, go right ahead. I'd like to hear.
I think that, you know, everybody has sort of an innate mode of expression. Like, you know, I've met people who express those feelings that they have inside of them through art, through like, you know, painting, or, you know, through videography. But I think that in order to heal, we do have to confront those things that, you know, that we feel might have held us back, or that still holds us back, the things that we're afraid of, the things that we feel ashamed about. I don't think that you can really heal without confronting those things in some way, through art or, you know, writing or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it takes courage to confront something, right? It takes willingness and courage. And sometimes also, you know, I think for immigrant communities especially, there can be a lack of resources or a lack of knowledge or understanding. And so when there is support, it's a lot easier to face these things and to really understand what is going on and to feel like, you know, I'm not alone in this. And it's, you know, what I'm going through is not so abnormal either. Other human beings on this planet, on this earth, also go through these kinds of challenges. So, and there's definitely uniqueness to the challenges that immigrants face, you know, especially undocumented immigrants. So yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then I'm also curious, what role did spirituality play in your life? It could be religion or spirituality, however you define it, but maybe just that dimension of something bigger or higher than ourselves that is maybe guiding your life or showing you the way, or
religion and spirituality have definitely played a role in my life in different ways, because I do come from a country that is mostly Catholic and very very strictly Catholic, and also that religious aspect permeates our interactions in Brazil. It even reflects how people communicate with each other. Like, when you say goodbye to someone, you don't just say bye, you say like, go with God. So coming from a country like that, I definitely had the sense of a divine God like ingrained in me, and that stayed for a long time. But I also came from an upbringing that didn't really, my mom didn't take me to church, so I was not as heavily indoctrinated as a lot of people are in Brazil, and I was always more open-minded to other religions and other spiritual beliefs. I was flexible to incorporate them into my life, and that really is what ultimately got me to the belief that I have now, that serves me better than the belief that I came here with, which is, you know, Catholic. It definitely serves me. It makes more sense to me. And it got me out of, you know, the darkness that I encountered here. So I do believe that there is one or more gods, but I think it's just an objective divine force in the universe, you know, that that created everything, but doesn't create the events that happen to us, you know what I mean? I believe in the law of attraction, and coming to that belief is what allows me to see past the obstacles that I encounter every day.
Beautiful. Yeah. And it sounds like this was kind of a process that eventually and gradually unfolded for you, versus you just kind of being brought up with one religion and sort of sticking mm-hmm. to it. And I know some mm-hmm. people, and I respect everybody's kind of religious and spiritual perspectives. And at the same time, I know for me, coming from a Christian background, I didn't feel fully satisfied with what I was getting from the religious aspect. And, you know, even, yeah, some of the things I was seeing and hearing in church didn't quite feel deeply spiritual to me. So I felt like I needed to continue looking for something that was more fulfilling and where I could actually feel that connection with the divine or the God or goddess or something mm-hmm. higher. Yeah. So it's beautiful that you had that courage to also continue seeking or continue looking and being open-minded.
Exactly. Yeah. It was very gradual for me. It started out with just feeling like, why is God doing all of this to me? Like, why won't he, you know, it's been like 10, 15 years. Why am I still in this situation? Why does he want this for me? I stopped believing in God completely. And then I started, you know, sort of wanting to believe again, but I wasn't sure. So I would call myself agnostic. And then I realized my belief in God doesn't need to be the church's definition of God, you know. I don't need to subscribe to organized religion. And then when I discovered, you know, the law of attraction, then that just made sense to me. And the law of attraction doesn't negate the existence of divine power. It actually says the universe is filled with divine, you know, magic, like in everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I can really also relate to that question that I believe also serves as the point at which spiritual awakening can happen of why is God doing this to me? You know, when we're suffering, mm-hmm. when we're in pain, when we're struggling. And then at that point, also waking up to another aspect of God or another dimension of how, who God is, you know, and like, you know, that you remember having this context from religion that God is punishing me or I need to be afraid of God, and God sends, you know, these difficulties and challenges so that we can grow. And I wasn't open to the possibility that there could be also ease in life, there, that God could be kind and loving, and God doesn't necessarily want us to suffer in life. So all of that, it's kind of had to shift for me to open up to, I would say, even greater love. That to me, that kind of like summarizes it, like being open to that greater capacity for love. So, yeah.
Definitely.
Alrighty. So I'd like to also hear, I know this particular challenge applies to the immigrant communities, and especially I'm sure for you, you know, as in people who are undocumented, is that sense of living in liminal space, that space in between, we're not quite sure what's going to happen, and kind of having that feeling of being up in the air. I was curious, how was it for you, and how did you kind of work with that or handle that?
For me, living in a state of limbo, like that liminal space that you're talking about, it was very mind altering, personality altering. It dwindled away my drive, you know, the sense that you have a clear objective of where you want to be, and you think that's possible for you, and you're taking all the actions that you need to take to get there. That I didn't have that, because it didn't feel like anything was realistic for me when I didn't have legal status, and there was no indication that that was going to change. So when that happened, at least for me, when I didn't have that drive towards realistic objectives, what happened was, you know, at best, I was doing things that were a waste of time, that didn't get me anywhere. And there were in my darkest points, I was doing destructive things, like, you know, self-medicating and that came from like not being able to do anything about the problems that I had in my life. Like there were legal barriers to like all the solutions. That's the way I perceived it, you know? So not only was I not progressing, but I also couldn't do anything about the problems that I saw. That's the way I felt. And it was just really dark. And that's why, you know, discovering the law of attraction was so life-changing for me, because when I adopted the principles, it created a whole mind shift that I had control, that I had the power to change things. And then suddenly things were changing. And then the more I believed it, the more strongly I believed it, the quicker things changed. So I think that's what got me out of the liminal space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm hearing how that liminal space war is linked with the feeling of powerlessness. Yeah, and then when you discovered the law of attraction, it almost gave you your power back in that sense of like, oh, I have control in this situation. There's some things I can control, not everything, obviously, but mm-hmm. yeah, some things are in my power.
Yeah, so I think no matter, you know, I don't know every immigrant and you know, the word immigrant, we're not monoliths. Everyone has their own unique story and experiences. But I think I'm pretty confident in saying that the liminal space that undocumented immigrants experience does feel like, you know, hopeless, or, you know, in some degree, it feels like that's what you have to work with, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people definitely need to realize they have more power than they think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. And would you mind just sharing one example of how you were able to shift something that you were struggling with into something that actually felt more possible to work with or to be with or to handle?
When I, while I was going to community college, I was having to live with my parents, my mom and, you know, my stepdad, and my mom and I were not getting along at that time. I think we've had like too much of each other, and I was like 20 something at that point. And so, like, I think if the child doesn't move away from the parent at some point, there's gonna be like, you know, this sense of like, I cannot be an adult and you're not letting me be an adult. And the parent feels like, well, you're not an adult, you're not on your own yet, so, you know, I'm still your parent. And that's how I think what was going on. So I really felt like I really needed to start saving some money somehow, even though I couldn't legally work. So I think that was around the time that I discovered the law of attraction, and I started trying to manifest some kind of job that I could do, you know. And I think around that time, I also started reaching out more to sort of my relatives that I saw every once in a while, but I started having more contact with them. And then my uncle, he came to me with this job that he had found out about. They were looking for someone to help at a Brazilian restaurant. And, you know, it wasn't one of those fancy steakhouses. It was just one of those down-to-earth, home-cooked meal sort of things, restaurant. And they did hire me under the table. And that job didn't work out. but, you know, like, I felt that I was starting to manifest something when I got that, you know, job. And I thought, you know, maybe if I keep at it, I can, I don't know, I just started doing it. And then the conversation around DACA Dreamers started coming up, and you know, then DACA was signed into executive order, and I was like not doing very well at school at that point, because I've been going to community college for a few years now, and I was so burnt out from going to school. I think my peers were all graduating from college at that point. And I didn't really know if I could get in anywhere when I was able to finally apply for financial aid and transfer. But I got into some, you know, state schools, and I'm really happy with the one that I went to. So many things happened when I transferred that I started manifesting, that I was just like a full believer at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Beautiful. All righty. And something else that I wanted to ask you is what projects and initiatives are you currently working on? What is currently brewing and stirring in your life?
Yeah, so I took a break from writing. And by the way, I want to tell your listeners that, you know, if any part of this, they wanted to know more about it, like it's all out there in my blog articles, which they can find at the link in my bio. But I decided to put writing aside for a while because I got to a point where I really felt like it benefited me so much when I started to learn about more about my culture. It became really important to me to learn about my culture after I was able to go back to Brazil for the first time. And when I came back to America after that trip, it became really important for me to have a better understanding of like my history, my country's history, my country's like politics, economics, even simple things like the slang or like the music. That people listen to now. I didn't know any of that. And for me, it was really hard to research those things because my knowledge of Portuguese was so basic that like, you know, reading academic or research heavy things was a challenge for me. So I decided to start doing the thing that felt like the easiest way or the easiest content, most digestible content. And it's so typical, like watching a novella is like the most Brazilian thing that you can do. So I started doing that, started watching novellas, Brazilian novellas, and it sort of became like, it sort of taught me, like it showed me everything that I wanted to know, like each novella or each movie or each documentary that I started watching was showing me different aspects of my country or my country's culture. And I decided that since it took me some time to find the shows and the things that I wanted to watch that interested me, that I would try to make that easier for other people. So I decided to launch a YouTube channel, and that's why I put writing aside to launch this YouTube channel that's going to be sort of like a TV guide for Brazilians abroad. So they'll know like where to find those shows and sort of be transported like I was. I think that was a longer answer than it needed to be, but
no, it's a beautiful answer. I so appreciate hearing it and you sort of diving into your own culture and kind of not losing that stream that connects your ancestors to you. And it's so important to have that sense of rootedness and groundedness in cultures that we come from and not lose touch with them. And the fact that you want to offer this resource to others is absolutely great. Yeah, and I know, like I've been studying also intergenerational and collective trauma, that sense of disconnectedness and pain that we can carry can actually block the flow of love from moving in us and through our lineages. So the fact that, yeah, you're doing that research and you're willing to embrace your own culture. It's like you're bringing that love and that stream of love back into your life and into your consciousness. So it's absolutely needed and absolutely necessary. And I know I'm in the same boat with you, where I'm also learning about Armenian culture, and I'm learning, you know, listening to the music and learning about Armenian genocide, and just kind of uncovering these lost pieces of also when, uncovering the lost pieces and like putting things back together. So there's that a sense of wholeness to my life and to me. And so it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, there's this common theme among Afro-Latino Brazilians that I've talked to and sort of seeing that was very validating, seeing that, you know, in the shows that I was watching, it was very validating because there's this sort of confusion that that Black, I almost have a hard time saying that because Brazil defines Black so differently than America does, that most people in Brazil, people of color in Brazil, they don't, well, I think it's starting to change now, but for a while, for a really long time, myself and other people that I've talked to, they did not really see themselves as Black, and they really didn't know what they were. And it's a really complicated issue, but it basically has to do with the fact that Brazil did not have the same sort of segregation era that the U.S. had. It went from slavery to encouraging interracial relationships, and it did that for the purpose of gradually whitening the generations. And for that reason, there was never a period where people were told, like, where people were treated like inferior, off, like blatantly, like as blatantly as America. You know, there was never that segregation period, like whites here, Blacks here. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, because of that ideology that like we're interracial, we're encouraging interracial marriage so that each generation can be lighter, it almost created like an aspiration for people to feel like, for people to distance themselves from Blackness, because that was like the ideology that was adopted after slavery. So then, you know, people started rationalizing themselves away from Blackness. Like, my hair isn't, you know, kinky. My hair is curly, but it's not, the curl pattern is different from Black curl pattern. Or like, I'm lighter, so I'm not Black. And, you know, when I saw that, and also when I saw the way that Black people are treated in Brazil with sort of this like subtle racism, you know, it's not really like, it's not the racism that you really see here. It's just more subtle. It's like jokes. It's jokes. When I, you know what I mean? It's jokes or it's exclusion, but the exclusion is justified. It has an ulterior justification, like, you know, like you don't have the right experience for this position, or, you know, looking for someone more experienced, or just, you know, it's just less like identifiable. And then when I saw that, in the shows I was watching, I realized like the things that I felt when I was there, when I was a child there, they just made more sense, you know, or the way that certain Brazilian people thought of me or treated me. Okay, now this makes sense. I wasn't imagining it. So there are healing benefits to understanding the culture that you're part of or were part of. That those things affected your parents. So there are things that you might have experienced with your parents that you may not understand until you see like how they grew up, the culture that influenced them, you know?
Exactly. And also it's kind of like, it's important to recognize and really clearly see how these dynamics are playing out. And what feels very encouraging for me is to realize that there are certain dynamics that I can change, right? Like I don't have to carry the trauma, let's say, that my parents carried, right? I can heal it through my body, through my heart, through my consciousness, and release it. And so that the generations that are coming or that are here can carry less of a burden that is coming from the past. And I believe not everything, obviously, but some aspects we can shift and transform. And some of them are absolutely collective. Not, you know, it's not about just one person working on themselves. It's more about, like with racism, it's more about collectively whites, blacks needing to look, you know, at themselves and look together to see how that can be transformed, specifically with white people, obviously, who are the oppressors in the situation.
Yeah, so we need to definitely be aware of where our trauma, we need to be aware of what parts of our upbringing are generational trauma and why. And so we need to like know how to stop them from passing on to our children. And exactly what you said, some things are collective, like the race thing in Brazil. It's only been a few years now that I think Brazil has had a consciousness about its racism. Up until a few years ago, I think Brazilians were still living under the collective delusion that it didn't have a race problem. Brazilian government, which the Brazilian government would try to discredit anyone in the past who said that there was racism in Brazil. Saying, you know, they were crazy U.S. America fanatics or something like that, that they, you know, that they were aligning Brazil with America's racism. The racism there looked different, but the academics were writing about it and being discredited by the government.
Yeah, it's interesting how that, you know, that pattern, it happens on an individual level as well, that pattern of denial, how at a certain extent, to a certain extent, denial sort of protects our egos or protects us from really facing reality, and how when there is already like a moment of awakening that's happening on a cultural level, certain people want to hold on to that denial because they don't want to see clearly, they don't want to really acknowledge what's happening in the country, and can feel threatening. It can feel threatening to really like open your eyes to something that's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's like, it's almost like it's like acknowledging, I like to acknowledge what is happening and at the same time not to think that it's okay for it to continue, Okay. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, this has been happening. We're now waking up. We're recognizing what's going on. And we need to have the courage to face these things. Like that's I believe those are the steps that we need to take us on an individual and also collective level to really go back to, I don't even know if it's going back to or moving forward towards a different kind of a future, a different kind of a possibility. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like how to heal ourselves. We need to acknowledge the past. We can't just, you know, decide I'm healed and move forward. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of what happened in the past created like the version that we are right now. So you need to like go back to the past and see what versions were negative for me, what events are negative on this version of me, and which ones are positive, so you can leave the negative influences behind.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like in recognizing that each culture has its own shadow and its own light, and how mm-hmm. you know, it's also a matter of dancing with both, right? And
yes,
learning to transform the shadow and turn it into compassion or wisdom or understanding, and and create a different kind of a reality. So mm-hmm. absolutely beautiful. And yeah, I'm looking at the time, and we are coming very close to the end of our podcast. And I'm just wondering if there's anything else you feel like you want to add or you want the listeners to know. And this is an opportunity for you to just add any last pieces.
You know, I guess, want them to know that, you know, if through listening to this podcast episode or through reading some of my writing, if they feel like they want to connect with me about anything, that I'm always there for, to talk to anyone and share experiences with anyone. So I just want people to feel free to connect with me and you know, yeah, that's about it.
Great. Yes. And I'll definitely also include your links to, you know, to your YouTube channel, to your website, if you'd like, and people can also reach out to you that way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Thank you very much for being here. And I really was a pleasure connecting with you and getting to know you.
Thank you. You as well. I had a great time talking to you, and just want to thank you so much for having me on.